Thanks for listening to the Gospel Church Podcast. We hope that this podcast is used by God to help us all grow closer to Jesus Christ. If you would like to get connected to our church or give to the mission, you can visit our website at thegospelchurch.com. Now for this week's sermon.
Today we are continuing our series called I Am, Jesus in His Own Words. And what we're trying to do is strategically slow down as we head into Christmas and fix our eyes on Jesus. We are just 55 days away from Christmas, which is crazy. 2022 is going to be here before we know it. So as we head into the season, we want to slow down and fix our eyes on Jesus so that as we approach Christmas this year, we can view it in a different way so that we can come in with a posture of worship and a posture of understanding who Jesus is. Why is his birth so significant in our lives? So to do this, what we are doing is we are walking through the seven I am statements that Jesus makes about himself in the Gospel of John. And the question that we are trying to answer is, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And our answer to this question is the most important answer that we will ever give. It's eternally important. And as A.W. Tozer put it, he said, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. If you've been around since I've been preaching here as the interim pastor, you've heard this quote often, because I really hope that this becomes baked into our thought process, that we understand that who we view God as is the most important thing about us. And today, I think if we can just tweak that quote just a little bit, we could say how we answer the question of who is Jesus is the most important response we will ever give. So we don't want to leave our answer to this question to ourselves to figure out who Jesus is, or even to others to tell us who he is, but we want to go to Jesus, straight to the source himself, and see who he declares himself to be. So over the past 2 weeks, we've looked at the first two I am statements. At first, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And then the second week, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And Trey walked us through the significance of Jesus' statement there. And then today, we're going to come to the third and fourth I am statements. We're going to combine these two because they're closely aligned. And Jesus says, I am the gate for the sheep, and I am the good shepherd. I am the gate for the sheep, and I am the good shepherd. So if you have a Bible with you today, and I hope that you do, you can flip over to John chapter 10. We're going to be in verses 1 through 18, and if you do not have a Bible, you can find one at the end of your row. If you do not have a Bible at home, that is our gift to you. Feel free to take that with you. Now, before we jump into this passage, I want to introduce you to someone named Barack. Now, if you are on TikTok, you might know Barack because he went viral this past year, okay? This is Barack, if we can get the image up here. This is Barack, okay? Barack, which is spelled with two A's. I think they were trying to do something there. Barack, right? And he's a sheep in Australia, and he was lost for 5 years. And as he was lost, he accumulated 75 pounds worth of wool on his body. You can see it right there. And all of this wool was causing him some serious problems. You can see it's even covering his eyes. It was impairing his vision. He actually had an ulcer in one of his eyes. The USA Today article said that if a sheep goes for an extended period of time without adequate care, the overgrown wool can lead to buildup of manure and urine that can lead to infection. So Barack was in bad shape. He probably smelled absolutely terrible as well. But thankfully, Barack was found. And they were able to shave this heavy excess wool off of his body and free him from the bondage that he was carrying around. And you can see here, I mean, it was a drastic transformation, right? He's a cute little dude, a good-looking sheep, you know, looking a lot better. And here's the reality. We are just like Barack. We are sheep in need of a shepherd. Without the help of a shepherd, we are in the same situation that he was in. We get lost. We get weighed down by the weight of the world. We get infected by the disease that is sin. We walk around carrying burdens that we were never meant to carry on our own. We are sheep. All throughout Scripture, God refers to his people as his sheep. It is the most common animal referenced in the Bible. It's referenced over 500 times. And in our context, we don't fully understand the significance of this phrase, that we are his sheep, because I don't think many of us in here are shepherds, and we're not hanging out with sheep that often. But if you just do a quick Google search, you can find a lot out about sheep. And let me just put it in the simplest way possible. Sheep are not the smartest animals in the world. Some would even say that sheep are the dumbest animals in the world. Here's some of the attributes that you can find online. First off, they have awful eyesight. They have no sense of direction. They follow whoever is leading them. I saw a news story while I was reading this that in eastern Turkey, the shepherds actually went to go grab breakfast, so the sheep were unattended. Well, one sheep started wandering off, and he fell off of a cliff, so 1,500 other sheep followed him off the cliff. They follow whoever's leading them. Not that good at direction. They're prone to wander from the flock. They get a little overconfident and decide that they can do it on their own. They can leave the flock, just like that one that let everybody else off the cliff. They don't have a defense system. If you think about it, they don't really have any cool defense skills. They're just like a wool sponge with toothpicks for legs, so that doesn't really work out well in the animal kingdom. They're stubborn animals. They don't learn from their mistakes. They go back to the things that are harmful to them. And if you don't believe me, just take a look at this video. It's one of my favorite videos I've seen recently. So this is a sheep in a ditch. Just Google, you know, sheep falling into a ditch. I've watched it 100 times. It's hilarious. In order for us to understand this passage, we have to understand that we are sheep in need of a shepherd. We are just like that dude right there, right? We are, as the hymn says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. We are so easily, we lose our way and we need to be brought back into the fold. We are stubborn and we run back to the things that are harmful to us. And what we're going to see in this passage is that in Jesus, we both have a gate into the sheep pen and a shepherd who saves us and guides us and protects us. And he knows us and we know him. And he gives us life and he gives us life abundantly. So with all that context, let us read what Jesus says about himself in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. And if you have a Bible that has red letters, all but one sentence in here is Jesus talking. Says this, verse 1, truly I tell you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own outside, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't know the voice of strangers. Jesus gave them this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Jesus said again, truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. If anyone enters by name, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it in abundance. I am the good shepherd. The shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, since he is not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches and scatters them. This happens because he is a hired hand and doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. But I have other sheep that are not from this sheep pen. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Then there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to take it up again. I have received this command from the Father. Now, there is so much in this passage. We could do a whole series on these 18 verses alone, but we're going to look at two phrases in particular. Jesus says, I am the gate for the sheep, and I am the good shepherd. So what can we learn from this? We see three things about our relationship with Jesus here. The first is this, is that Jesus calls his sheep. Jesus calls his sheep. If you just quickly scan through this passage, you'll see the language of God calling and his voice all throughout it. Verse 3 says, the gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. The sheep calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Verses 4 and 5 say, "The sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. Instead, they will run away from him because they don't know the voice of strangers." Verse 16 says, "But I have other sheep that are not from this sheep pen. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice." Here's what all of that means for us. Jesus draws us into his flock by his voice and by calling us to himself. Jesus initiates. We simply respond to his calling. Jesus initiates. We simply respond to his calling. The only way for us to have a relationship with God is to enter in through the gate, and that gate is Jesus himself. We do not stumble into a relationship with God and enter into his flock. We do not find God. God finds us. Scripture tells us that we do not naturally seek God. Psalm 14, 2 through 3 tells us that the Lord looks down from heaven on the human race to see if there is one who is wise, one who seeks God. Verse 3 tells us, all have turned away. All alike have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. There's not a single one of us who naturally seeks God. We are inherently running away from God and rebelling against him. But before the foundation of the world, God knows who his children are. And he seeks us out, and he comes and he finds us. And when we hear his voice, we recognize it as our Father and our Savior. Without Christ, we are the lost sheep weighed down by the wool. We are lost and wandering and without hope. But Jesus, as the gate and as the good shepherd, does not leave his sheep this way. He comes and he finds us. This is why we love the parable of the lost sheep, right? In Luke 15, 3 through 7, Jesus tells us the parable as a representation of him seeking out his own. And here's what he says. He says, "So he told them this parable. What man among you who has 100 sheep and loses one of them does not leave the 99 in the open field and go after the lost one until he finds it? When he has found it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. And coming home, he calls his friends and neighbors together, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who don't need repentance." In his mercy and in his grace, Jesus leaves the 99 sheep who are already safe and are in his flock to come and find the one. And for all of us, we have been that sheep who is lost and wayward, and Jesus in his loving kindness comes and finds us. We hear the Savior's voice and we come running to his arms. When Jesus calls, we always respond. When he shows us hope, we will always come running. He initiates and we respond. He calls and we follow. As the gate, he gives those who should be destined for eternal separation from God eternal access to God as Father. He gives those who should have eternal death, he gives them eternal life. As John 10:10 puts it, "I have come so that they may have life and have life in abundance." And what this passage is saying is that Jesus comes and finds us in our brokenness and in our mess, and he offers us life. No matter how lost you feel, no matter how broken you feel, no matter how dirty or weighed down you feel, just like Barak the sheep, right? Jesus will come and find those who are his. If you're a Christian in the room, I just want you to stop and think about the moment that you heard God's voice when he came and found you. Most likely it wasn't an audible voice, but it was a personal voice that you knew it was God, your Father, your Savior, coming to find you, to lead you home through the gate that leads to eternal life. And just go back to that moment. I don't think we do this often enough. I was even thinking about this whole week. I was like, I don't do this often enough to think about that moment and just stop and thank God for coming to find me. For me, I came to Christ around 8 years old. So honestly, the age of some of our gospel kids in the room. And I remember we were at a church service. I can't remember if it was a Wednesday night or a Sunday night, but like I heard the gospel and I knew that I needed to respond. So we go home, and this is kind of the embarrassing part of my salvation story. I hopped in the shower, and I was sitting in the shower, and I'm just sitting there as an eight-year-old, and I just feel my heart just beating out of my chest. And I knew I just had this feeling that I could not shake, And I knew that I needed Jesus in my life. I knew that I was messed up and the only person who could fix me was Jesus. And as an eight-year-old, I just sat there in the shower bawling my eyes out for probably 30 minutes. And when I got out, I had to tell someone what was happening. So I went and ran to my parents and they helped me just pray the prayer and led me to Christ. And then I was able to be baptized at our church. And it was just an incredible moment. I was 8 years old. There's no way I could have really articulated it in an incredible way. But in that moment, I could have told you, I know that I am a sinner in need of grace. And the only place that I can run to for grace is Jesus. I knew that I had that. Jesus called me. I heard his voice and I came running home to him. And I'm sure if we went around this room and we all shared, if you're in Christ, if we shared our stories of our salvation when Jesus came and found us, the common thread throughout it all would be that we heard Jesus calling and we ran to him. That there was that feeling, maybe it may have been a period of time, it may not have been right in the moment, it may have been leading up to that moment, but there was, Jesus was calling us and we could not outrun his grace. His calling is 100% effective. And we said, yes, he comes and he finds us. He leaves the 99 and finds the one. And oftentimes we're not even looking for it. We're not even expecting it. He comes and finds us and brings us out of our mess. And for those of us who have never experienced that moment, maybe you're sitting there in the room today and you're like, maybe I just walked in here to check out the things of Christianity. I got invited by a friend. And you're even thinking right now, you're like, I haven't had that experience. I've never had Jesus knock on my heart and say, will you trust me as your Lord and Savior? And I've never given my life to him. And let me just tell you, that is the greatest experience that you can ever have. It is the most important question that you will ever answer. And if that's you, I just want to encourage you to respond by giving your life to Christ. It's the best decision you can ever make. It is eternity changing. So today, at the end of the sermon, I'll just be up here. If you want to come find me, I would love to talk to you about what that looks like. And even if you just want to pray to receive Christ, I would love to do that with you. Because Jesus, when he calls, like I said, you're not going to outrun it. His calling is 100% effective. He initiates, we respond. That's the best news that we could ever hear. So that's the first thing that we see in this passage, that he's the gate. He calls. His voice is clear. And we come running home to him. The second thing that we see is that Jesus guides his sheep. Jesus guides his sheep. Look at what Jesus says in verses 3 and 4. He says, the gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own outside, he goes ahead of them. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. So Jesus is the gate that saves us and brings us into safety, brings us into his flock. But he's also the good shepherd who leads us and guides us every single day. And I think too many times I do this in my own life, I only think of Jesus as kind of a one-time thing in salvation. I say, you are the gate, I walk through the gate, and I kind of forget that he's leading me every single day as my guide, as my good shepherd. And he's the gate and the good shepherd. It's a both and relationship. He saves us, and then he guides us. And he guides us in a unique and personal way. Notice what Jesus says in verse 14. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Let that sink in just for a second. Jesus knows you. The creator of the universe knows you. And he's guiding you in your life. He knows everything about you. And actually, he knows you better than you know yourself. He created you. He knows the story that he is writing. He knows exactly how he wants to use you for your years on this earth. He knows you personally. He knows your strengths and weaknesses. He knows if you're an older sheep who needs a little bit more time to keep up with the flock. He knows if you're a young sheep who's just full of energy and you're just constantly wandering off every which way. He knows when you need rest. He knows when you need to be pushed outside of your comfort zone. He knows everything about you. And he's going to lead you and guide you exactly where you're supposed to be led and use you exactly how he's supposed to use you. Now, when we think of Jesus being our good shepherd, if you've grown up in the church or grown up around the things of Christianity, you probably have your mind already going to one of the most famous and most often quoted passages in Scripture, which is Psalm 23. And I think we can learn a lot from this great psalm about how Jesus guides us as our good shepherd. So if we flip over to Psalm 23, we will see David, who was a shepherd as a young man. He actually is writing this as he's a king. He's thinking back on his time as a shepherd. And here's how he describes the Lord as his shepherd. Psalm 23, verse 1, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live." David begins this beautiful passage by declaring that the Lord is my shepherd. He has everything that he will ever need. He is satisfied with God alone. He knows that God will provide for him. And then he goes on to say some of the most comforting lines in Scripture. "He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths." For some of us, we've read these very verses over, maybe it was a family member who was in the hospital. Maybe it was in a tough time. And these are some of the most comforting lines we will ever read. The shepherd knows when we need to lie down and rest. He knows when we need our strength renewed. He knows when we need him to sustain us. That's verses 1 through 3. But then notice in verse 4, he's saying all of these comforting things, but David goes on to say, "Even when I go through the darkest valley." As comforting as this is, I am going to go through the darkest valley. "I fear no danger. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." As beautiful as this chapter is, it also includes the darkest valley. Even with the good shepherd, on this side of heaven, there are going to be dark valleys that we walk through. There are going to be trials and there are going to be struggles. But in those dark valleys, we can trust the good shepherd because he is with us. And I want you to take note of the last phrase in verse 4. He says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. If you want to, I would recommend highlighting or underlining those words, because those two words are depicting God's guidance and his protection in our life. And we'll come back to the rod in just a minute, but we're going to focus on the staff. What David is basing this description on is back in the day, he understood that shepherds, he himself did this, they walked around with a staff in one hand and a rod in the other. It was essential to their work. And the staff mentioned here is a symbol of the Lord's guidance and his loving kindness. The staff was a long, slender stick that had a curve at the top. For all the gospel kids in the room, if you've ever seen Toy Story, you can just think of Little Bo Peep, right? Got the little staff. That's what the shepherd was carrying around. But why did he carry a staff? Well, because sheep, we just talked about it, are notorious for wandering off and getting themselves stuck into tough situations. And when the sheep would wander off and get themselves in danger, the shepherd would use that staff to bring them back close to him. He'd also use it to guide the sheep where they're supposed to be going. And this is exactly what Jesus does for us. He directs us and he guides us with his staff to walk in whatever he has planned for us. And then, which we will wander off, we all know we will. We are sinners, even when we're saved, we are still sinful and we love to run to the things of this world that are harmful to us. And when that happens, Jesus himself is pulling us back close to himself, so that we can be reminded that we need to be close to the shepherd. And there's also times that God is going to withhold his mercy on us and let us go through the darkest valley so that we are reminded to stay close to him. That's a really tough thing to hear. That sometimes the good shepherd lets us wander off, or something happened to us, and withholding his mercy to let us go through the darkest valley in order to remind us that we have to have the good shepherd and lean into him for our guidance and protection. And he does this to make us more reliant on him. Look at the end of Psalm 23:3. It says, he leads us for his name's sake. The whole purpose of his guidance is for the purpose of his glory and our good. That's straight from Romans 8:28. Wherever he leads us and guides us is so that his name will be glorified and that we will be made more into his image. That means sometimes he's going to keep us right beside him. Sometimes he's going to let us wander, but he's always going to bring us back. So even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. That's the second thing that we see. The third and the last thing that we see goes right along with this, is that Jesus protects his sheep. Jesus protects his sheep. All throughout John 10, we see the need for a gate and a shepherd because there are thieves and wolves everywhere. The chapter starts out in John 10:1. It says, truly I tell you, anyone who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. Then John 10:10 says, a thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. As sheep, we need protection. We talked about this just a few weeks ago as we were wrapping up our series in Ephesians, but we are in a spiritual battle. There is spiritual warfare around us. There is an enemy who wants to take us out. He wants to cripple us with sin and make us doubt the goodness of our shepherd. This is why Jesus says he is the gate. He is a barrier between us and the thieves and wolves. And he's also the shepherd. And specifically, a shepherd who spares nothing to protect us. So right after John 10:10, it says the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. Notice what he says next in verse 11. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, since he is not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches and scatters them. This happens because he is a hired hand and doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. I laid my life down for the sheep. We have a shepherd who lays his life down for our sake and for our protection. And this is because he's not a hired hand. He's not just renting these sheep. He's not overlooking someone else's sheep. He says, these are my own. And when the enemy came, he stood in our place and he took the punishment that was supposed to be ours so that we could have life and have life abundantly and be eternally protected and secured in Christ. And when he did this, he completely flipped everything that God's people knew about the relationship between shepherd and sheep. In the Old Covenant, if you just read all the Old Testament, you'll see that the sheep had to die for the shepherd. There was a blood sacrifice to make the shepherd right with God through the blood of the sheep. But then in the New Covenant that Jesus is issuing in right here, the shepherd dies for the sheep. The perfect good shepherd. His blood makes his sheep clean and right before God. He's flipping everything upside down, and it's in the good shepherd's death that we find our eternal life and protection. Because of Jesus's death on the cross, we are eternally secured and protected from the enemy. And yes, the enemy is still going to make a good run at us and try to attack us, but as Paul says in 2 Corinthians, these are just light and momentary afflictions. Because the battle has already been won, and we are eternally protected by Jesus. This is the rod that David mentions in Psalm 23, and it's a symbol of the Lord's strength and protection and the security we have in him. The rod, we talked about the staff, the rod was a sturdy wooden stick that the shepherd used to keep wild animals coming to attack his defenseless sheep. And with the rod, Jesus knocks out the teeth of the wolf of sin and death, and he takes away Satan's bite in our life. He has eternally secured us. So Satan can take a good run at us, but his power is gone. We are secure in Christ. Now, when we hear this, when we hear that Jesus is our protector, this is how I sometimes read this. I think the temptation is for me, and I think it could be for all of us, is that we think it's going to be easy, that God is my protector, so everything in my life is going to be easy and comfortable, and nothing bad is going to come my way. There's going to be no struggles ahead. But we've all seen enough life, we've all lived enough life to know that that's just not true. There's still an enemy on this side of heaven who wants to steal and kill and destroy us. When we are saying that the good shepherd is our protection, we are saying that he protects us as we go. He has eternally protected us and keeps us. So there are going to be times that we are going to get bloodied up. We're going to get attacked. But even when those attacks come, we can know that we have a shelter that we can run to. And here's a key in this understanding. I think when we hear about the gate and the sheep pen and the flock of God's sheep, it's easy for us to think that the calling for us is to remain with the sheep and remain safe. But it says that the shepherd will lead us out and go ahead of us. And as sheep, we have a mission not to stay in the pen and feel good about ourselves and remain comfortable. Our mission is the Great Commission, and that means that we go out and make disciples of all nations. In verse 16, Jesus says, "But I have other sheep that are not from this sheep pen, that I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice." And in God's grace, he allows us to take part in that mission of going and making disciples, sharing about who the good shepherd is, and God includes us in bringing other sheep into the pen. That means as a sheep, we are going about carrying out the mission of Jesus in the midst of the world of wolves. We are going to get hurt. We talked about how sheep don't have a great defense system. That's us. We are going to get bloodied up. We are going to have moments where we just want to throw in the towel. But that's when we lean into God as our protector, as our sustainer. As the author Dylan Burroughs put it, he said, "Safety comes in our nearness to God, not our distance from the enemy." It comes from our nearness to God, not from our distance to the enemy. So when we abide in Christ, we will know that we are safe anywhere that we go. We are not meant to retreat from the world, but we are meant to go into the world for the sake of saving the world through Christ. We have not been promised an easy life. This is not what this passage is saying. But we have been promised that God will be with us even when trouble comes. And that what the enemy meant for evil, he will use for good and for his glory. And that the trouble that comes our way will bring us closer to him. And that no matter what comes our way, we are eternally protected in Christ. Nothing will happen to us without him knowing it. He is in control, and no matter how crazy the circumstance seems, he is still good, and he is the good shepherd in our life, and he has a purpose even in the darkest valley. So as we look at this great passage, I just want to encourage us to look to the good shepherd and the gate who calls us, who guides us, and protects us. So if you will, just bow your head and close your eyes. I just want to ask two questions for us to reflect on this morning. And the first is just simply, have you heard Jesus call you? Have you heard his voice, and have you responded to him by saying, "Lord, I want to trust you as my Lord and Savior"? If you haven't, I would just want to invite you to do that today. You can do that right where you are, and you can just pray for God to come into your life as your Lord and Savior. If you want to talk to someone during this song, or even after we pray, I'd love to have a conversation with you. The second question I just want us to all think about is simply this. I have no clue what you walked in here with. I have no clue if you're walking through a dark valley, or if you're on the mountaintop and you feel like everything's going great. But as we talk about the Good Shepherd guiding us and protecting us, I know there are many of us in this room, if not all of us, who have an area in our life where we need to just ask God to lead us and protect us and to remind us that he is the good shepherd. So just whatever that area is in your life, just bring it to your mind. And here's what I want to do as we close. You can look back up here. Just keep that in your mind. What I'd love for us to do as a church together, we're going to just read Psalm 23 out loud together as we close. And whatever that is in your mind and your heart, just let this be a prayer over that. Whatever circumstance that you just feel like you can't trust God, or you just don't see how he's moving, or you feel like you're in the darkest valley, let this be a prayer in your life. The Lord is my shepherd. So if we can go ahead and get that up on the screen. We'll read this together. The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. Father, we pray that that would be our heart's cry. That is our prayer. We pray that no matter what circumstance we're going through in this moment, it could be the best day, it could be the darkest valley. And Lord, we just pray that we would trust you as our shepherd. And Lord, if we have never trusted you as our Lord and Savior, we want to walk through that gate. We want to hear you call, we want to hear you initiate, and we want to respond. Lead us and protect us, and let us go into the world with a mission to make disciples, knowing that there will be trouble that comes our way, but we have a good shepherd who loves us and cares for us.